was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their backs confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls a string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings. As the night falls in on a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride.
Resurrect the Republic, RTR, Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I'm your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and I am co-host. Is joining me tonight is Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, and he is also known as the Freedom Screamer. How are you tonight, Eric?
Not very good.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. What's going on?
Well, I literally just about vomited all over my floor listening to Rex Tillerson today at his confirmation hearing. And the thing that fascinated me the most about this whole thing was the other talk show host. I heard it in a clip that another talk show host was playing, and the talk show host didn't even see fit to mention this most obvious, disgusting statement that Rex Tillerson made today three times in 1 minute. He used the word global world order.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't talking about it. And where is everybody? First of all, folks, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. If this show goes bye-bye because Tom went bye-bye and Lori can't come at night because she's got to work in the morning and take care of little kids and I got to go to work together, guess what? You're not going to get it anywhere. I didn't hear anybody talk about this three times in 1 minute. Russia's looking to find its place in this global world order. So in this global world order where Russia's trying to find it. And then, even worse than that, he comes out and says, it's not likely that we're ever going to be friends was the word he used, friends plural. He said, it's not like, I believe this with Mike, hey, if you can pull this up, man, I would really appreciate it. It's all you have to do. It's going to be easy to find because he used the word global world order three times in 1 minute. And it was in the context
of...
Yep.
I just want to say this real quick to you. It is amazing. Yep. You know, you can always tell when God is in the mix for our radio show. And you can confirm that I have not discussed with you what I'm going to discuss tonight, correct?
I have not talked to you about tonight's show. We just had a brief text, and you said, will you be on with me tonight? And I said, yes, in one word, answer, and you just texted me back some smiley faces.
Well,
okay.
Guess
no,
what?
We have not,
everything
so
you're talking, you're talking about right now actually goes with the topics and everything I'm going to go down and break down for the people tonight.
Beautiful.
And Eric is right. Let me tell you right now, you will not get this.
I thought you were
going
to, you know, God, Lori, you're a sweetheart, and I appreciate it. I thought you were going to yell at me for ragging at the new administration, but it has to be done. And I'm not, it's not my intention, but God bless Lori. Lori's been very generous, by the way, Mr. Trump administration and all his minions, trying to hold your things together with coat hangers and duct tape and trying to prop it up, the unproppable. And I've been worried from the get-go that what we're witnessing here is good Mason versus bad Mason. And I'm not, according to them, I'm not saying there's any good Masons. But this is what's been put forth since George Washington and his best friend, George Clinton. Do you know who George Clinton was? not only George Washington's best friend, he was the vice president under Jefferson and Madison, and he was also a nephew of British Admiral Clinton, who was the director of the British armies in the Revolutionary War. We'll go down that rabbit hole later.
Well, I'm going to... I'm not going to get on to you. You know as well as I do, and every buddy who listens to me or has followed me has known, I don't care. We're going to call out the individuals just like I did about Mattis. And as promised last night to the individuals on the show, so y'all may want to get some pens and pencils ready for reference points, because I'm going to give some information that is going to make it very easy for you to look up. Plus, of course, we'll provide it, and we'll tell you where to find it, too. But, you know, I give benefit of the doubt where benefit of the doubt is due.
I do as well. And even though I ragged at Trump early because I suspected this was going to happen, people have been listening the past few weeks. They heard me very, very, very positive, very reconciliatory, and saying, Trump, we're looking forward to this new administration. Jeff Sessions is going to do the right thing. I just know it. I'm going to think positive, and then positive things will manifest themselves. Yeah, just
right,
think.
We have to remember. But we also have to remember, Eric, in all fairness, right, we do not know. And I did not hear the confirmation hearing you're talking about. But that individual in that confirmation hearing that said that is one of the ones that is the problem. We would agree with that, right?
Yeah, it's Rex Tillerson, the big oil man. Great, just the guys we want running the show now. Billionaires and oil men. Look, until we have a president who suffered, and I mean lived in their car for 6 months or a year, had ice on the inside of their residence because they had to choose food or heat. I have patriots call me saying their eyeballs are hurting because they can't heat their place. They got to choose between heat and food. These guys don't think normally, okay? Ted Cruz is a scammer, and Rand Paul's a scammer, and I'll get into them later. But I'm really disgusted watching these guys tell us that change is going to be building a wall, changing Obamacare from one plan to another. Oh, I got it. Their communism is bad, but yours is good for the new administration. Their new world order is bad, but our global world order is okay because it's us at the wheel.
Listen, calm down, because we're going to dissect into this. And like I said, who was, Mike needs to know, what was the name of the man that was being confirmed that you're talking about?
I believe it was Rex Tillerson, the director
Tillerson.
Of Exxon.
Okay. Okay. Let's say this, though, in all fairness, okay? And in all fairness, and this is not on Rex's behalf, this is on Mr. Trump's behalf, okay? Number one, we don't know if he has the same mindset as this individual. We do know that he has touted time and time and time again that you want successful people in there that know what they're doing because they've already been there, done that, and gone down that route and built their businesses or done their different things. Now, in that aspect, I know, just calm down because we're going to handle this. Believe me, you're not going to believe what I'm going to expose tonight. So, but what I'm saying is Russia, the reason Russia is so under attack in the first place is because they're not going along with those bankers. They're not going along with that order, if you will. We're going to dissect into
like that.
That's also the reason we will go into a little bit of the history of the Ukraine. And all of this stems from, because as I was talking about last night, many people did not know that we've got a mass amount of troops going to the Russian border, and they have no idea why. They don't even know what's going on. So I'm going to expose that. But it all stems back to the excuse of the Ukraine, which was unlawfully overthrown by these globalists, the same ones you're referring to. Ukraine was not for getting in with the IMF and getting in with these globalists. And that's why they had to overthrow it. President Obama also admitted to helping and being involved with, and they didn't use the word coup, of course, but it was a coup over Ukraine. They admitted U.S. involvement. Victoria Nuland, She admitted that Washington spent $5 billion in order to overthrow the lawful president of Ukraine. And this is why Russia came to the aid, because it was another, once again, you know, a source of conflict created by these bankers. And yes, there are Soros links, and yes, this is the other thing, but all of it is going to stem to be very important, because this leads back to NATO, people, and we love our military enough that we will stand up, we will speak up, and we will fight for their right not to be slaughtered and be put in unlawful invasions where they get killed. We will,
right, we're
we
the
will
only
stand
ones trying
up
to keep them alive.
We will stand up if we see what's going on. We will tell you the truth in order to try and stop a war from happening. Make no mistake, and I'm not going to go into massive detail of the history of Ukraine or the history of Crimea, but remember, I believe it was like 2014, these individuals, the lamestream fake media, kept reporting that Russia invaded Crimea, Russia invaded Crimea, and all of this. They had to do Russia is the boogeyman, Russia is the boogeyman, Russia is the boogeyman. And there was a reason for this, everyone, and I'm going to tell you something to look up, but what had happened, what you need to know, some information you need to know. As of 2014, the total population of the Republic of Crimea and Sevastopol was 2,248,400 people. Okay? And of that, in the statistics, it shows that by the 1897, 35% of Crimea, the Russian, was Russians, okay? Ukrainians, 11%. And, of course, Germans and a whole bunch of different aspects of that. However, what you need to know, what lamestream media never told you, you have what is called the Black Sea Fleet. Okay, the Black Sea Fleet is a large operational strategic command of the Russian and the formerly Soviet Navy, and it was operating in the Black Sea and in the Mediterranean Sea, and it had been there since the late 18th century. Okay, the 18th century. So let's understand that. Its ships were based in various harbors of the Black Sea, the Sea of Azov, I hope I said that correctly, while its aviation and infrastructure was based in various locations in Crimea and Krasnodar, Kerry. Now, when you do the research on this, you find out that Russia, they had what was called the Partition Treaty on the Status and Conditions of the Black Sea Fleet. The treaty was signed between Russia and the Ukraine on May 28th of 1997, whereby the two countries established two independent national fleets and divided armaments and bases between them. Under the treaty, the Black Sea Fleet, that was located in the Crimean Peninsula at the time, was partitioned between Russia, 81.7%, and Ukraine, 18.3%, with Russia maintaining the right to use the port of Sevastopol in Ukraine for 20 years until 2017. The treaty also allowed Russia to maintain up to 25,000 troops, 24 artillery systems, 132 armored vehicles, and 22 military planes in the Crimean Peninsula. So what do you need to know? When Crimea started having its issues, which was a issue that, of course, was stirred by the NATO alliances and Soros and all of these people who just cannot leave anybody alone. They can't mind their own business and do anything good for just where they're at. They have to stick their nose in other countries and control everything. So when he sent these troops into Crimea, he sent these troops into Crimea to protect Crimea. He didn't invade anything. He already had a partition treaty. And the troops that were already allowed to be there, and they had bases there. So it was no invasion. The Ukraine issue is because the EU and the IMF bankers don't want the unlawful president that the U.S. government helped to put in by overthrowing a lawful president over Ukraine. So when they want to tell you we must put Russia in check because of Ukraine and its people and make Russia the boogeyman, Russia's been actually on the right side of this the entire time. Russia has actually been protecting the people, and it's not okay to go in and overthrow a government. Now, the way that they did this, they used for Ukraine, they used neo-Nazi individuals and things like that. If you remember, there was snipers that had shot into a crowd and shot police officers as well as some protesters, and they kept trying to claim it was Russia and then find out, oops, no, it wasn't. It was actually individuals that were connected with the EU. That had all been exposed. So what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about the problem of our troops being sent over there. And then I'm going to dig into some real numbers. And I'm going to ask President-elect Donald Trump, I'm going to tell him, I have figured out just by this document that I've read for several steps, how to save money, how to get out of the foreign entanglement that the founders warned us about, how to have a much more secure union, how to lower the global death rate, as well as not having to raise taxes to pay for the new ships that he's wanting to do for the Navy. That's a good thing, Eric. I know a lot of people are against that, but our ships have depleted. Our ships, our Navy and the Marines are actually the only ones in the Constitution that are allowed to stand more than 2 years. We do need to have a fleet. Doesn't mean we have to use them and be invading other countries. However, we do need that fleet. So when I go into exposing this, I'm going to tell them how to do all that and not raise taxes on the people, as well as help stop this kind of attack against other countries that absolutely don't want part of this globalist agenda. So this really ties in with what you were talking about, Eric, and so I'm kind of tickled about that. So I want to let everybody know, last night I made a statement that NATO is who our military take orders from. And as you know, always, I back up what I say with proof, because I am not fake news. So what I'm going to do first is I am going to let you hear former Defense Secretary Leon Panetta on March the 9th of 2012. He was sitting before Congress, and he was asked, it was the Armed Services Committee, SD-106, and he was asked about, this is in reference to Syria, and Jeff Sessions asks him a question about where he thinks he's getting his permission from, and Leon Panetta makes it very clear. So I want to prove to you this point. Why? Because, number one, I want our military men and women to know that we love you more than you will ever comprehend. And we are fighting
for you. We're the only ones trying to keep you alive.
We are fighting for you. And we are tired of NATO that is unlawful. We should never be in it. We need to withdraw from NATO immediately.
That's right.
They have done nothing good. They have destroyed the globe, and that's all they want to do. Power, control, destroy the globe, steal resources, get out of NATO. And I'm going to – so let me share that clip, and then we'll go from there, Eric, because this really ties in everything with what you're saying. Later on this evening, I'm going to give you all a quick update real quick about Tom. Lori is expected to, Texas 101 Lori, Tom's significant other, is supposed to be on the show tomorrow night. If you would like to hear more information, I can tell you really quick, though, Tom is still in solitary confinement. However, he is doing all right. They are finally giving him some non-narcotic medication that is not his prescriptions, but at least they're giving him something. He is still in Lane County, Oregon. And they do still need some donations coming in. If you want to donate to help Tom to be able to help with communications, for getting communications or food or clothes, or even to help get a constitutional attorney that would really sink their teeth into this, please donate to Tom Lacovara at gmail.com through PayPal, or you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com and you can click on the PayPal button and do it that way too. All the money that is donated to that will be going for Tom's, whether it be phone or food or clothes or to try to help get a constitutional attorney that's in there. So I wanted to let that be known real quick. Okay, so if you would, Mike, let's go ahead and play LV6.
Do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and then we'll come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree, you've served in the Congress,
yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that that's would be pretty breathtaking to the average American? So would you like to clarify that?
But I've also served with Republican presidents and Democratic presidents who has always reserved the right to defend this country if necessary.
But before we do this, you would seek permission of the international authorities.
If we're working with an international coalition and we're working with NATO, we would want to be able to get appropriate permissions in order to be able to do that. That's something that, you know, all of these countries would want to have some kind of legal basis on which to act.
What legal basis are you looking for? What entity?
Well, obviously, if NATO made the decision to go in, that would be one. If we developed an international coalition beyond NATO, then obviously some kind of UN security resolution would be the basis for that.
So you're saying NATO would give you a legal basis and an ad hoc coalition of nations would provide a legal basis?
If we were able to put together a coalition were able to move together, then obviously we would seek whatever legal basis we would need in order to make that justified. I mean, we can't just pull them all together in a combat operation without getting the legal basis on which to act.
Well, who are you asking for the legal basis from?
If it's obviously, if the UN passed a security resolution as it did in Libya, we would do that. If NATO came together as we did in Bosnia, we would rely on that. So, you know, we have options here if we want to build the kind of international approach to dealing with the situation.
Well,
let me just for the record be clear again, Senator, so there's no misunderstanding. When it comes to the national defense of this country, President of the United States has the authority under the Constitution to act to defend this country, and we will. If it comes to an operation where we're trying to build a coalition of nations to work together to go in and operate as we did in Libya or Bosnia, for that matter, Afghanistan, we want to do it with permissions either by NATO or by the international community.
Okay. Okay, so what you need to know, NATO headquarters is where representatives from all the member states come together to make decisions on a consensus basis, and it offers a venue, per se, for dialogue and cooperation between partner countries and NATO member countries, enabling them to work together in their efforts to bring about peace and stability. Peace and stability? No. Their agenda. Roughly 4,000 people work at NATO headquarters on a full-time basis. Of these, some 2,000 are members of the national delegations and supporting staff members of national military representatives to NATO. About 300 people work at the missions of NATO partner countries. Some 1,000 are civilian members of the international staff or NATO agencies located within the headquarters, and about 500 are members of the international military staff, which also includes civilians. Now, these individuals were not elected to represent anybody. So, to make this clear, these foreign entanglements, these countries sit around a table and they decide what they want. And if another country doesn't want anything to do with it, example, Ukraine, didn't want Libya to enter into the EU, well, because we said so sitting at this table and we decided you're going to enter into the EU whether you like it or not. So all of these bullies get around this table and they decide they're going to force individuals into a contract, or we're just going to overthrow you and take you over by force. That is what is going on. Now, as I said yesterday, this crud about demonizing Russia, this crud about using the excuse about the Ukraine, you can't use the excuse of the Ukraine when it was unlawfully overthrown from a democratically elected president that was there. He was overthrown, put in by the United States and the UK and the EU, all of them had their hands in it. Soros ties, all of this good little stuff, neo-Nazi individuals involved with it. And then, of course, for some reason, these people have a mindset that blows my mind. They think they have a right to do this. And then these fake media outlets will report it as if Russia is the bad guy for defending civilians and defending the people that are there because they don't want it. Then NATO, after they demonize, and this is why you've heard so much Russia hack, Russia hack, Russia hack, Russia hack, Russia hack, Russia hack. It's because they have to demonize Russia so they can make it okay on what they are doing. And they are the ones acting in an aggressive act of war. After that note, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. Please hang in with us because we've got more proof coming for you. We're going to redistribute when we make our paychecks. Hey, sit down, don't be a jerk.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at numanarepublic.com. That's NUMANARepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN. I am your host, Lori Anderson, joined with co-host Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers, also known as the Freedom Screamer. I'm going to take a call really quick before we get back on to the proof and the things you need to know about what is really going on. How are you doing tonight, Greg?
Lori, thanks, Lori. And Eric, I really appreciate your show and all your dedication. And to Tom, I hope he's doing well. Solitary does not sound fun. Okay.
No.
NATO. Wanted to touch on NATO. Have you people ever heard of or watched, and it's an 8-hour or so, well, first-hand knowledge documentary, a woman named Kay Griggs. Kay Griggs. Have you ever heard of her?
No, I have not. Have you, Eric?
Wow. Want your heart broken and want to cry your eyes out, watch the very first hour, and she will explain what NATO truly is. She was married to a general or something like that, and she was a very pretty lady, and he was a general, and they were located out in Virginia.
Oh, wait a minute. I think I know who you're talking about. She was married to Special Forces general. And she discusses special forces.
Yes, and it was all about the homosexuality and the child pedophilia and all of the crazy MK Ultra junk behind NATO. And it will break your heart, those people
She's
listening.
She's got blonde hair.
Kay Griggs.
Does she have blonde hair?
Yes, pretty lady.
Okay.
And she is just flat into the camera and just telling it like it is about what it was. It was just one great big nest of homosexuals. Mm-hmm. She didn't know that the man she married was a homosexual. He swung both ways, and it'll break your heart because mm-hmm. it peels back the layer of the onions of what's really going on behind the scenes. And that's really
and you know what? Thank you so much for bringing that up, Greg. I had seen that. Now that you mentioned it, when you said Virginia, it clicked to me. What I'm going to do for the listeners, I'm going to find it on YouTube because I know it used to be on YouTube, and I'm going to put it in my Resurrect the Republic RTR Truth Radio Broadcast collection on my G+. So you can find me on G+ by typing in Lori, LoriAnderson. Find me on G+. And follow that collection, and you'll get that. That is a very good suggestion, Greg. At one point, I actually tried to find her, and I have had no success. Yeah, I had no success.
If you can find her, boy, I'll tell you, and just to the listening audience, if you have not heard of Kay Griggs, it's an eight-hour series ad nauseum mm-hmm. about what goes on inside mm-hmm. The top of special forces and how they move up the line is basically homosexuality.
And the boy, stuff they're forced to do.
Out from the abuse to the how all the wives just clam up because they're all on a ride and they're all being spoiled and flaunted overseas for, you know, kind of semi-ambassador positions of greeting other countries, delegates and things, and it's a big, fat homo nest.
And the ones that are not, now I know some special forces that are not, but I do know of her testimony on the end of things, but I do also know that there are some that went in and they weren't like that and they were forced into it because otherwise they wouldn't be allowed in.
There's
a lot of psychological warfare that goes on for these guys to get where they get.
Silent little, celebrations that go aboard ship. And this isn't aimed at the Navy or the Marines or anything. It just happens that apparently by crossing the equator, there's a little homo celebration going on. As a matter of fact, a couple years ago, you might have remembered a report about one of the Navy commanders being relieved of his ship because they found a goat on board the boat.
No, I don't remember that one.
Okay, yeah, you can look that one up. But anyway, you want your heart broken, Kay Griggs isn't kidding. Just watch the first hour of the 8 hours, and you won't really need to go much further. You will probably sit there in tears. And that's all I got to say. Thank you, kids.
You know what? Thank you very much, Greg, for calling in and saying that. I had forgotten completely about that, and he is right. That is definitely it is an interview that will definitely make your mouth drop on that. So thank you once again, Greg, for calling in and mentioning that. So I wanted to get back to real quick the evidence of what I am saying, because as you know, we are not fake news around here. I wanted to give you some more proof about what I'm saying about the Ukraine. I'm going to let Victoria Noland herself speak to you through a clip, admitting that that they were involved with spending $5 billion to overthrow the lawful president of the Ukraine. If you could, Mike, go ahead and play LV5.
Well, thank you, Roman. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here and for your continued support for the U.S.-Ukraine relationship. And thank you for the invitation to speak to you today. Still jet-lagged from my third trip in 5 weeks to Ukraine and my days in Kyiv earlier this week. I don't have to tell this crowd that these are historic and challenging times for the people of Ukraine, for the Ukrainian-American relationship, and for people everywhere who care about the future of that great country. The world is watching the drama that is unfolding in the center of Kyiv. The Euromaidan movement has come to embody the principles and values that are the cornerstones for all free democracies. What began on November 24th as a protest against President Yanukovych's decision to pause on the route to Europe has become much deeper and bigger. After blood was spilled by security forces on November 30th, the movement also became about justice and civil rights and Ukraine's desire to have a government, Ukrainians' desire to have a government that respects them, that listens to them, that protects them, and that provides for them, a modern democratic government. That was palpable when I made my first visit to the Maidan on December 5th. When Ukrainians say they are European, this is what they mean. And as one very prominent Ukrainian businessman said to me, the Maidan's movement's greatest achievement is that it has proven that the people of Ukraine will no longer support any president, this one or a future one, who does not take them to Europe. Throughout this period, the United States' message has been clear and unequivocal. We stand with the people of Ukraine in their search for justice, human dignity, security, a return to economic health, and for the European future they have chosen and that they deserve. As you know, and as Roman said, I returned to Ukraine for my third visit in 5 weeks last Tuesday in support of these very goals, this time conducting parallel coordinated high-level diplomacy with EU High Representative Cathy Ashton with all of the key Ukrainian stakeholders. Then, halfway through our visit, in the wee hours of Wednesday, December 10th, we witnessed the appalling show of force by government forces who turned riot police, bulldozers, and tear gas on the Maidan demonstrators as they sang hymns and prayed for peace. Ukrainians of all ages and backgrounds flooded to the Maidan to protect it. Secretary Kerry wasted no time in expressing the United States' disgust at this decision of the Ukrainian government, and by morning the riot police had been forced to retreat. Later that same day, I spent more than 2 hours with President Yanukovych. It was a tough conversation, but also a realistic one. I made absolutely clear to him on behalf of the United States that what happened December 10th, and more generally what has been happening in security terms, is absolutely impermissible in a European state, in a democratic state. But I also made clear that the United States believes there is a way out for Ukraine, that it is still possible to save Ukraine's European future, and that that is where we wanted to see the president lead his country. And that was going to require immediate steps to de-escalate the security situation and immediate political steps to end the crisis and get Ukraine back into a conversation with Europe and with the International Monetary Fund. As you all know, and as I'm sure you just heard from Anders and other colleagues, Ukraine's economy is in a dire state, having been in recession for more than a year and with less than 3 months' worth of foreign currency reserves in place. The reforms that the IMF insists on are necessary for the long-term economic health of the country. A new deal with the IMF would also send a positive signal to private markets and would increase foreign direct investment that is so urgently needed in Ukraine. Signing the association agreement with the EU would also put Ukraine on a path to strengthening the sort of stable and predictable business environment that investors require. There is no other path that would bring Ukraine back to long-term political stability and economic growth. We also commend the EU for leaving the door open on the association agreement and for continuing to work with the Ukrainian government on a way forward. The Ukrainian Parliament has already passed some 18 separate pieces of required legislation in advance of the Eastern Partnership Summit in Vilnius. Although that was a missed opportunity, it would be a huge shame to see 5 years' worth of work and preparation go to waste if the AA is not signed in the near future. So it is time to finish the job. As Vice President Biden said in remarks last night, President Yanukovych has a choice. He can choose the path that leads to division and isolation, or he can take a leap and take immediate, tangible steps to defuse his country's crisis and start a genuine dialogue with the opposition and agree on a path that returns Ukraine to economic and political health. While these are challenging times in many ways, we also can't lose sight of the fact that this is a time for great optimism as well. You only have to be on the Maidan to feel the energy, to feel the hope of Ukrainians coursing through the center of Kyiv and across the country. People are engaging because they know they have a stake in the future of their country. We see energy, we see optimism that simply didn't exist in Ukraine 20 years ago. People are of all ages, of all classes, of all walks of life, are taking ownership of their future and coming out into the streets to demand a European future. They're doing so peacefully, with great courage, and with enormous personal restraint. Since Ukraine's independence in 1991, the United States has supported Ukrainians as they build democratic skills and institutions, as they promote civic participation and good governance, all of which are preconditions for Ukraine to achieve its European aspirations. We've invested over $5 billion to assist Ukraine in these and other goals that will ensure a secure and prosperous and democratic Ukraine. Today, there are senior officials in the Ukrainian government, in the business community, as well as in the opposition, civil society, and the religious community, who believe in this democratic and European future for their country. And they've been working hard to move their country and their president in the right direction. We urge the government, we urge the president to listen to these voices, to listen to the Ukrainian people, to listen to the Euromaidan, and take Ukraine forward. The support of the people in this room is absolutely essential. We thank you for all you are doing. We thank you for your partnership all these years, and we look forward to continuing to stand shoulder to shoulder with you as we take Ukraine into the future that it deserves. Thank you very much for the time today.
So, right there, as long as you go along with what the IMF demands, as long as you go along with what this group that sits around a round table and decides for the globe demands, then everything is absolutely fine. But if not, we're going to sink over $5 billion. I say over $5 billion for a reason. You'll find that out in just a little bit. But just to prove one more point, that President Obama also admitted to the U.S. government being involved in the coup. Obama told Fareed Zakaria, a member of both the CFR and Rockefeller's Trilateral Commission, that the United States brokered the coup in the Ukraine last February. Now, that was reported in February of 2015, so that would have been February of 2014 that President Obama was speaking about. And if you could, Mike, play LV3 so we can let our audience hear that as well.
And since Mr. Putin made this decision around Crimea and Ukraine, not because of some grand strategy, but essentially because he was caught off balance by the protests in the Maidan and Yanukovych then fleeing after we had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine. And since Mr. Putin made this decision around Crimea and Ukraine, not because of some grand strategy, but essentially because he was caught off balance by the protests in the Maidan and Yanukovych then fleeing after we had brokered a deal to transition power in Ukraine.
So, as you can hear, after they had brokered a deal, to transition power into Ukraine. Who do they think they are? That's not their business to do that. They're not supposed to be doing that. Whether you're the United States, whether you're any of these members of the NATO organizations, this is absolutely detrimental to not only the globe, but to the United States of America as a whole. And
They're running a business. They're not running a government.
Exactly. And it all leads
back, of course, with running a government
bankers.
Like a business.
That's right. So let's see. What the whole reason that we've done this part was to confirm what I said last night, and I will say that there are some propaganda news sites, and what I mean by that, of course, for any new listeners, are quote-unquote what others call mainstream media, that have been just starting to report on the troops going into Russia. That'll be on my G+. I'm not even going to play that for y'all. It is really sickening how they want to portray Russia as being the bad guy on this. But, of course, they have to justify going in and sending all these troops. Let's see what the Germans think about what is going on. Now, remember, Germany is also part of the NATO situation. They are part of that. But we have proof that the German people are completely against this. Mike, could you please play LV2?
Anti-NATO sentiments fill the air in northern Germany as residents voice objection to a transfer of forces by the military alliance through their country. The protesters have rallied in the port city of Bremerhaven, where scores of U.S. tanks and armored vehicles, along with some 3,500 Americans, docked on Friday. They are going to be transferred to Eastern Europe to bolster NATO positions near Russia. The demonstrators have called for an end to what they deem as NATO's militaristic march against Russia. They fear that the deployment could fuel tensions and eventually spark a war.
I'm here to explain peace to Russians because I'm afraid of new wars. As with the maneuvers of new wars begin, and this big maneuver is the one that quite scares me, and I'm here to speak against this.
The military equipment, which includes 87 tanks and 144 fighting vehicles, are just part of the biggest transfer of U.S. military hardware to the region since the breakup of the Soviet Union. The contingent will take part in regular military exercises in a number of countries like Poland, Estonia, and Bulgaria. Russia considers the buildup near its western borders as a threat.
Okay, Mike, you can go ahead and stop it there. If y'all want to see the rest of the clip, you're more than welcome to, because it goes into an interview and different things like that, but I wanted you to hear that. Of course, you're not going to hear that on the fake news sites. Now, what you need to know, I have one clip that I do want you to hear, because it is imperative to go into the document that I found that I can share with you all. And I want you to know you can also find what we are going to be discussing on Department of Defense, U.S. Department of Defense website as well, which I have all those links in my Google Plus. If you would, Mike, go ahead and play LV4. And please, everybody, listen closely.
Meanwhile, the United States has briefly stationed its troops in Poland as part of an ongoing NATO operation to deploy forces along Russian borders. Now, the troops landed in Wrocław in southwestern Poland. Nearly 2,800 tanks and other pieces of U.S. military hardware are also being transferred from Germany. A NATO general said the deployment was part of the military alliance's efforts to deter what he called Russian aggression. Troops are said to be dispatched to six other countries close to Russia's western border. Now, the current deployment is part of a NATO mission, which was launched in 2014 after Crimea rejoined Russia. Moscow has repeatedly called the NATO's eastward expansion and its troop deployment along the Russian borders as aggressive and provocative. Crossing over to Montreal, joined by Michel Chasudovsky, from the Center for Research on Globalization. Thank you so much for being with us. What exactly is going on? Does the U.S. Want to actually basically go to war with Russia, or how do you assess this?
Well, I would describe it as political insanity. because the outgoing president, Barack Obama, is implementing what is called Operation Atlantic Resolve against Russia. Now, this Operation Atlantic Resolve is not something which is recent. It's been ongoing in the last few months. But it coincides with the accusations directed against Russia regarding the hacking of the U.S. elections. And what we are witnessing is, first of all, the United States is sending very large quantities of tanks and military hardware, coupled with the deployment of troops right at Russia's doorstep. But in turn, America's European allies under NATO command are also deploying tens and thousands of troops to Russia's border. And the irony is that this operation is described as a peacekeeping operation. Mm-hmm. The military spokesperson is indicating that, in fact, the best way to prevent war is military preparedness. And, in fact, what is happening is that concepts are being totally turned upside down. Russia is being accused of threatening the existential security of the United States through the hacking operation. And in turn, the United States, and in fact, it goes even further than that, it intimates that the Russian president is involved in an action which constitutes an act of war. We're talking about the alleged cyber attack in the United States. And then in contrast, the operation at Russia's doorstep is described by the commanding general of the U.S. Army, Timothy McGuire, as follows. I quote, "The best way to maintain the peace is through preparation." But in fact, what he means is war preparation.
Right.
And essentially, what we have is a situation where the hacking operation is tagged as an act of war, including by Senator McCain, against the American homeland, and Operation Atlantic Resolve, involving a massive deployment of troops and military hardware, is categorized as an act of self-defense.
Indeed. So what is the overall goal? What do you think this is? What are they trying to get to? We see Obama, that he is on his way out, and basically his administration continued to take lots of aggressive actions against Russia. With the coming of President-elect Trump, do you think that it will make a difference, specifically looking at this aspect of what we're talking about right now?
Well, what these military declarations seem to suggest is that the deployments will be in place before the 20th of January, of course, which is the inauguration of mm-hmm. the new presidency. In other words, I think what Obama has done is what we might describe as a fast track.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to get as much deployment of military hardware and troops at Russia's border in the name of world peace before the inauguration of the elected president Donald Trump.
Okay.
And essentially present some kind of fait accompli. Mm-hmm. I suspect that this will not lead to any, it could lead to an incident, but I don't think it's going to lead to war. But it does constitute a signal to Russia from the United States and NATO But I should also mention another thing, is that Poland is playing a very key role in there, and the United States has initiated projects of cooperation, of course, within NATO, to the effect that Poland would have between 95,000 and 150,000 troops in the case of a conventional war on Russia's border. Of
okay,
course, all of
want,
this
Mike,
is done.
Go ahead and pause right there, and we'll be right back after a couple of words from the network sponsors.
I'm not interested in photo ops.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.